This is entitled Crouch, Touch, Pause, Engage. Take six muscle-bound men, flanked by two lighter ones. Now bind them all together into a solid pack. Put them on the field of clay, and every time a pass goes forward, somebody is accidentally offside, or the oval ball gets trapped. Whistle up a set scrum. Mark the game line, and then shout out these four commands. Crouch, such that your front row's heads are just above their hips. Touch, so that the space between the packs is not too great. Pause, and note the pent-up force of their controlled aggression. Engage, and hear the thud and grunt of clashing bodies, the forward push and backward heel to drive the ball out of that sweaty tunnel. Sometimes scrums do collapse into a heap of twisted limbs, pulled and severed ligaments, and even broken necks. We made a visit once during his therapy and marvelled when his speech returned. We even held a benefit match to cover his expenses. A fanfare, and his name was called. He wheeled himself onto the field of play. We wonder if he will crouch, touch, pause, or engage ever again.
It's not as hairy as ready. Imagine.
This is a bit of wishful thinking in verse. Anyway, give it a go. Deck sentence bypass. Symptoms that undermine Big Brother. Now noticed in this nation. Like frequent overwhelming episodes of simple appreciation. Or a loss of ability to worry. This is the most serious symptom. Or the feeling of being part of the plant and animal kingdom. Or an ever-increasing tendency to savor every minute. A strange, unsettling feeling that reality has no limit. A proneness to spontaneity, rather than acting on fears, based on our experience and the influence of the years. An increasing susceptibility to the warmth extended by others. Frequent attacks of smiling. Love for world sisters and brothers. Be aware of these symptoms, of no greed, no fear, no hate. The hearts of many people have been infected with this state. Many more of us could start to come down with this new condition. This could pose a serious threat, arousing Big Brother's suspicion. To the present stable situation, absorbed some time after birth, of mistrust and separation and conflict on this earth. Practical may not go with poetry, but to end on a practical note, should we reclaim our natural resources, the people need to vote. Communities in partnership with a more compassionate state, active co-responsibility instead of the eternal weight. The risks should now be weighed in the light of the present urgency. This crisis to beat all crises, Ireland's new emergency. It will come as a shock to the system. It's a case of lateral thinking. It is the job of those with influence to save the ship from sinking. Shuna, thank you.
Collection of political poetry from you guys.
Is that the next book?
Well, there we go.
And
Harriet's new collection will be launched. the reigning Fiverr champion is here. Carl?
Oh, yeah.
Carl, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Okay, so this is a piece that is kind of a mesh of a couple of other pieces. But I've got ideas and ideas so far. It's got a lot to be written yet, it is semi-autobiographical. Anyway. I came into the world in a short, sharp blur. I was a shell-shocked child with a shell-shocked girl. And I swam in her seas and I breathed in the air. And I bent to the wind when it blew in my hair. And I crawled and I walked and I babbled and I talked. I turned bricks into castles and my soldiers fought battles in the foothills of my bedspread court. And I grew, went to school, and up rules are for breaking. A mind in the making is mine for the taking. Divine declarations, divine inspirations, sublime revelations, refined realizations. Ideas and ideals and idealists, but I'm real and I feel I'm a realist. So I dropped out and signed on, thought I might plant the bomb, go toe-to-toe with the man at the end of the road, but the fight, it was rigged, and the man never showed. So I went back to the board, to the facts and the figures. The more I explored, the picture grew to be bigger, and something I could fix with the rage I had triggered. So I left and I traveled, picked the threads to unravel, tore the bricks from the castle of my motives and thoughts, and cut through the psychobabble of the Gordian knots. Ideas and ideals and idealists. But I'm real and I feel I'm a realist. So we ignored the rotting fruit, cut to the core to find the truth, to find the bits, to plant the seeds, to spread the roots, to grow the trees, to mark the boundaries of our boundlessness, those embassies of emptiness, where all the keys we found were blessed, and open gates to wilderness, where we searched for why, to where, from whence, looked under seas and influence, from center out to circumference. On mountaintops we pitched our tents. We climbed to crests and clept through clefts, where bumblebees had feathered nests, of warp and weave and woof and weft, of time and space and length and breadth. We swore solemn oaths to never part with such a path that held such art, as columns sprung from nature's heart, like lightning's lungs fit Zeus's darts. We trod chariots across the sky, and when all was done, lay down to die. We greeted death through western haze, awaited life from eastern blaze. The lessons learned we can't express. Each moment, magic, made, and blessed. Thank you.
From a larger work, Maybe Gonal is a school teacher, and she teaches in an inner city school, which I've called St. Ghetto High. And it's in various sections, mainly letters to the principal, dear principal. You've Maeve's glossary of school terms, where she redefines different things like blackboards and whatever. But this particular one, there's a little section, it's called Maeve's Advisory Clinic for parents. Advice A. On no account send your pupil to St. Ghetto High. It is a school that cannot guarantee results. While the plastic surgeon sometimes achieves good results, and some pupils have been rescued just before jumping, there are the exceptions that prove the rule. These are there simply must be somewhere better to send your kids. Siberia. Advice B. If you choose to ignore advice A, then be it on your own head. However, if nothing I can say can dissuade you, here are a few tips that may come in useful. Number one. Never let your child come to St. Ghetto High with a pen or a pencil or even books. These will only be stolen. And besides, if your child persists in bringing in these items, he or she will be identified as a SWAT, teacher's pet, etc., and his or her safety cannot be guaranteed. What am I saying? It can't be guaranteed anyway. Number two, try to avoid anything that could identify your child as a pupil of St. Gatto High, such as a school uniform. Ideally, your child should be dressed in civvies and appear to be walking past the school to some other normal kind of destination, and at the last minute should dart unexpectedly through the school gate. Number three, if possible, you should drive your child to school and collect him or her by car also. Why take the risk? Four pupils have gone missing so far this year. The police came and investigated. All the teachers were cleared, which surprised me. So it was either fellow pupils or person or persons unknown. There are a lot of people, past pupils, parents of expelled pupils, etc., who bear the school a grudge, so one can't be too careful. With all the cars driving pupils practically into the classrooms now, however, the driveway is bumper to bumper every morning, and it can take 10 minutes before you can get out again. It can become so packed that there's no room to open the car door when you finally reach the school buildings. What some parents now do is let their kid climb from the car right through the window into the classroom. The advantage of this, in theory, is to minimize danger of attack for the child. The ideal solution, really, one that I put to the principal, but of course I've received no response to, would be to transform the top of the building into a helicopter landing pad. This would be to facilitate parents who are especially nervous. I would not advise parachuting at the moment. Let's wait and see what happens without the helipad first. Number four, there is a swimming pool in the school, as you know, but it would be fatal to even think of that. Last year, one pupil stole a piranha fish from the zoo. And, well, the rest is history. Luckily, medical science has advanced significantly and the pupils survived. In fact, it was the poor piranha who died. He had all my sympathy. The chlorine and other chemicals would make you feel... But our pupils... I nearly finished. Our pupils seem the attendants tell me the water has to be kept at high levels as the pupils don't seem to wash at home. So the swimming pool is no go. It's like diving into slightly diluted bleach. I won't go on, I can't. Perhaps I went to that school job.
This is called I'm Not Being Schizophrenic. The most entertaining story of all time exists in my head alone. Reality, it exists for me. If I can do without you, at least let me have a private conversation with me alone. Isolated by a panorama of hills that make me less dangerous, allegedly. Streamlined in sync with the judges and buses on the home stretches. You alone, however, are needlessly worried from a gentle stormed lamb. One who bears the weight of your sin. A cacophony of blood and stillness. This is what all comes of relief in the mind. A brief dark room tries to hide it, because in case, God forbid, it should escape for fear of a catastrophe of millions and the cat calls and war. So I know it's unspiritual as well as well. This is a fault of thinking ill, and making a world without me, being strangled in the breeze dark room. Thanks.
And we've got two readers left. The second last is Simon.
It's called The Yin and Yang of the Butterfly and the Man. I stepped out into the night. A light clicked on and a butterfly came near. My left ear hummed and she came nearer, drawn by the light in, out of the dark. I held my breath and my smoke down by my side and she came closer. Her flight lines fractured and she dipped within tragic patterns and paths that broke and buckled unpredictably, like the motion of a petal having been slapped by the first fall wet in the eve of a storm, having swelled above upon the ridge of some angel's lid, having reached its tipping point, its critical mass, its end and its beginning, where birth and death dress the same, where the night hides all records of there ever having been a dawn, where a man or a woman will break or be born. She went on overhead, demented by disbelieved dreams, and the day stayed too much to ask for again, though quiet craving continued and would live on for as long as she was something, somewhere, waiting, waiting, and waiting to find and be found, without grounds for the hoping, though hoping still, like a flower in a book on a sill. The filament stayed silently bright and surrounded her and me below, me and her above, as Chang Tzu's dream came to me, wherein he wondered if he were a man dreaming about a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming about a man, and so where one had ended and the other one began, and that all blurred into an untamable truth to a man or a butterfly, or a Taoist monk, or a construction worker, or a poet, or a nurse, or an exotic dancer, or a student, a guru, a fisherman, a fighter, a flower, a raindrop, a weed, or a seed, from whom three things never stay hidden forever: the sun, the moon, and truth. And so we all get it, sometimes, and then we don't. Like trying to hold water, or light, or love in a word.
Speech around here is funny, said the voices in my head. The more that people talk, the less that is said. The voices of the living have echoes of the dead. We've reached the grave plateau to where influence has led. They say the boy's a dreamer. I once was a dreamer too. Us adults can do no more now. Children, it's up to you. Cry shallow tears for your mistakes. Make old what could be new. Take the colors from your picture. Give them a gray hue. Send them to the mirror with this weight upon their shoulders. Tell them not to worry. Tell them soon they will be older. And the hot passion that they feel now will have grown so much colder. There will be new young to lean on, a new scholar, a new soldier. Send them to their classes, learn the frailties of before. Let those preaching at their masses close the wide open door with stale talk of devotion, suffering, glory, and reward. Silence their self-expression, kill potential at the core. The cycle of paralysis has both ended and begun. Asking for an answer after taking truth from their tongue. Show them the romance in aging, the comfort that's in store. When the responsibility of your failings isn't yours anymore. Blacken their blank canvas with your useless wisdom. Can you hear what you are saying? Do you know what you have done? And as you lust for a savior, I wonder will it come? For you saying children of the future with the same breath that blew out the candle of the young. Thank you.